downtown, we live. Over the feeling, when it's go time, I go lie, lie from the kitchen with a ditch. Get your dad for a whipping. Whip a brick, when you break the whole brick down, this with it to get you. Pat glaze, frost wrist, how you fucking all these bitches.
Yo, yo, we back at it again, man. Smash and Dash, another episode, man. Back with my boy. Smash, we in this joint. You know what I'm saying? What's happening? How your day going, my boy?
Well, considering it's officially birthday week, you know, Deli juiced up and ready to do it, man. My dog won a Heisman. You know, SC's been balling. This has been a great year, man. I can't really complain about much of nothing right now, man. So it's pretty good.
Oh, okay, oh, okay.
Bro, what you gonna get me for my birthday, bro?
Jack got to see, man.
Boy, you good, boy. Your boy gonna give me what he got me last year. Y'all just wrapped up.
I'm still waiting on mine. Mine was in September, man. Ooh, yeah, but man. Yeah. I hear you say your boy won the Heisman, man. So, man, do you think that he can win it back to back? And before you answer that, are y'all? Is it this year coming up? Y'all moving or y'all got one more year in the same conference?
If I'm not mistaken, I think we go to the Big 12 or the Big 10 next year, 2023, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Josh, I know he listening, he'll tell, but I'm pretty sure it'll be I think it's next year. Actually, we don't go to the Pac-12 to the 2024 season. So I truly believe he can win another Heisman in that Pac-12. So yeah. I think it's even easier than ever now. Like, now that I think about it, thanks, Josh. Josh clarified that for us. So they move over into the Big Ten in 2024. But, oh, man, if he comes back and playing that Pac-12, the sky's the limit for him, man. It's just he already knows what he's going up against. And they think about all the talent that's already, you know, committed to coming in next year. Oh, man, we're going to have some – it's going to be crazy to see them. Just I can't wait to see.
Right. That was my thoughts initially. I see he's talented. I think he'd be a first round pick or whatever. He was a pretty good quarterback, pretty good athlete, able to run the ball, throw the ball down the field. Some of the things that Patrick Mahomes was showing at the next level. I see some of that stuff from him. But like I was going to say, like, I wasn't sure when they was moving over or whatever. If they come back to the Pac-12, like, for sure, I think he's able to win it again. If they was moving over next year, I don't think he was going to be able to win it back to back. I just think they have outgrown the Pac-12. Like, I don't think it's a lot of competition for them over there. I think it would have been much harder for him to win it if they moved on to the Big Ten next year or whatever. But, you know, I like some of the things that you were saying before the season, his goals, you know what I'm saying? So,
oh, man. Hey, I cannot wait till we go finally go beat up on – ask Braylon Edwards and ask Harden, ask these fools. When we used to play them, man, we used to smack them boys. They know what the hell is about to come. It ain't no better competition there. Like, they have never beat us. It'd be so funny how they talk about this better competition and better that. I get what you're saying, but, bro, Ohio State's going undefeated in that same. Michigan's going undefeated in that same. So what are they playing? They must be playing scrubs, too. Because guess what? They go undefeated in that thing. And then guess what? In the Rose Bowl, they got to come play SC, and we whoop their ass. So what's going on? I can't hear you, man.
Pac-12 is weak, man. Pac-12 is weak. It's like you just said. Oh, when you said back to the Pac-12, you like, oh, yeah, of course he got a chance. Yeah, but when you move over, yeah, it's not as easy.
And I said the same thing. I said if he plays in there, it's just going to be bigger games because he gets to play on a bigger spot. Like, they get to see him more. So, of course, he'll be able to win it playing against Michigan and dominate Michigan, playing against Penn State, dominating Penn State, playing against Ohio State, whooping, oh, sorry-ass Ohio State's ass. Let's not even get – it's neither here nor there.
They can't even dominate Utah. How you going to say they're going to dominate all these other teams, man?
It happens. Sometimes we lose. Hey, Chris, what bowl game were y'all going
to? Y'all lost twice to them, the same team.
What bowl game are you going to?
We're going to a bowl game. It's not about us. It's not about us. Don't take it personal. Bro, don't take it personal. It's not about us.
It's always
it's not about us. It's about Pac-12 and USC, bro. Don't take it personal. If they move over, it's going to be harder for him to win back-to-back. Now that they're in the same conference, it's going to be easier for him because there's no competition.
So let's go watch your team in Alabama, Birmingham at that bowl. Do you want to go down to Birmingham to watch them play in that bowl game?
Yes, yes.
You cat. Let's go there. Let's go. How about we go?
Let's go. Let's do it.
All right, cool. Put me up, because I know it ain't going to be at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Y'all ain't playing in the after Rose Bowl, after the New Year's Bowl. You know when you was playing, if you played before Christmas, it wasn't no good game. Stop playing, y'all. Don't do that, dog. Do not do that.
You're taking it personal, bro. I'm just dropping facts, bro.
My school is good. That's why. I take it personal because my school just won a Heisman. What did your school do for you lately?
I'm just saying. It doesn't matter. I'm just speaking facts, bro. If y'all can't beat Utah, y'all can't make it past Utah. You can't come in here and say y'all gonna dominate Michigan. Y'all gonna dominate Ohio State. Y'all can't even dominate Utah.
This is one year with a coaching staff. That's why I said I can't wait. Next year you'll see.
Okay.
I bet you $100 next year we beat Utah. Let's bet that now. Bet.
Next we'll year, see.
All that cash. We'll stop talking fat mouth and bet.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. Man, hey, bro, speaking of that, bro, I remember when we were just at Utah, bro, with my homeboy Q. I don't remember you doing all this, bro. Like, it wasn't like you was doing on the Utah chain. It wasn't like you was on the Utah bandwagon and all Utah this.
I'm just speaking facts, bro. It's no bandwagon. That's
I
want
to see.
Team.
I would love to see facts, ECU bro. Play Utah. They'll beat y'all by a thousand.
Nah, I would love to see ECU play USC week at.
You don't want that. You do not want to see that, 2K. Hey, 2K, listen, it's the best part. You, since you have your 2K room at ECU, why don't you call your athletic director and see what we can do, bro? Please see what we can do. Try to work that out. That would be the greatest thing ever, bro. If you could work a magic, and I'm going to call Mike Bone. And
it would definitely have to come through y'all.
Yeah,
y'all
I know.
Have to reach out.
I'm going to see what I can do, man. You damn right.
Do your thing, man.
Happen. We finally can do that, man. Let's move on in, bro. You know what I'm interested about? No, I'm really interested about this, dude. The Arizona Cardinals. They're in they're in a bind right now, 2K. You just re-up your quarterback. You re-up your coach. Your dog just go. We was watching the game. We didn't really see nothing crazy, but we both played football to know, like, it doesn't take much. Once a dude drops down like that, we both kind of figured it was going to be – first, we thought it was the hamstring because we knew that problem. But, you know, I kind of figured it was going to be the knee because it was non-contact. He's going to probably be out till this time next year or – you know, he probably ain't going to play next year at all. So what is the Arizona Cardinals going to do? Do they need to fire Cliff? Or do you keep him around and weather the storm without this quarterback now? Because you know you're going to be playing a whole year without a quarterback. One thing I can say in Cliff's defense, before you say anything, young, is that Cliff, when all the dudes are healthy with him, like when they're healthy, they had a great record. When dudes start getting healthy or suspended for, you know, on that stairway that Fat Man said the dude that beat him up was on, like, they've been healthy. So, like, when Kyler Murray's got a healthy team, he knows, like, he's proven he can win. So can Cliff. When those dudes get hurt, they can't win. So is that the coach's fault? Like, is that, like, what needs to happen now, 2K? Because, of course, somebody's on the hot seat.
Man, I can't even lie. If I was – if Kyler wouldn't have got hurt, I think it was going to be the end of the road for Cliff, man. But it's an unfortunate situation. He tore his ACL, so it's like, man, we can't get rid of Cliff and have Kyler out for the next season. Like, we just can't do that. So it's kind of a situation like, now we got to keep Cliff, weather the storm, like you say. And it's just crazy because, like you, last year, you have Hopkins out for like the first 10 games. He wasn't there. Then even once he got back in a couple of different things, you have Kyler Murray hurt. So he haven't had all his guys healthy all at the same time for all last year. So it's like that could be a reason. You know what I'm saying? So being that we know Kyler not going to be there, we can't fire him. We're going to have to weather the storm and just see where it goes from there.
I'm with you, man. It's kind of like this, even like the Dan Campbell and Detroit situation. It's like when you hire a guy, sometimes you're inherited some bull crap. So you have to rebuild. But I feel like a rebuild period is like a 3-4 year period, man. You got to get some players in that's going to listen to what you coach, how you coach it, how you preach it, and what you bring in. And sometimes I feel like these dudes, especially like in the Lions situation, even the Cardinals, like these organizations, other than when your coach was there, Bruce, like they're not really known for winning. Like the Cardinals aren't really known for winning and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So when you bring a guy in, it's like you got to like let him build his culture around, like let him build those guys in, let him see what he's, how good and how capable of coaching he is when his whole team and his roster is healthy. That's what I feel like they can do. But like you said, when you got your number one guy, both your number ones out for, you know, 4 or 5 games, 6 games, and you're playing with backups and you're trying to figure out what kind of coach he is, it's like, man, what do you expect? Look at Aaron Rodgers. Yes, it just happens, man. So
I think it happens because, like, you look at, shoot, like I say, you got Hopkins out 10 games. You got Kyler Murray out at least 5 to 6 games, like before he got hurt. Connor, he was missing a couple games. So you mean to tell me you got your number one running back, receiver, and quarterback out missing most of these games, and you trying to weather the storm? I don't think you can really blame the head coach on that. We know the next man got to step up, but we know what's up. Like when you got Marquise Hollywood Brown as your number one receiver, like.
Yeah, it's tricky.
You know, I mean, the balls he dropped, like, it's tricky or whatever like that. So it's like, man, I don't think they should fire him. I think they're going to give him another year and maybe another year after that because Kyler's going to be hurt. So it's like, what do you do? So it is what it, like you say, 3-4 year rebuilding period. I feel like this is a time to see what other players going to be able to step up, what he going to be able to do, and just see what goes from there.
Right. You fire him now, you bring somebody in, they're going to stink it up. Then you're going to be looking at him like, why did we fire him to have another coach come in here and go, you know, 2-15 or whatever you want to call it. So it's going to be interesting to see. You got to keep our eye out on that one. I can't wait to see how it happened. I know if that was, you know, if that was somebody else, they probably would have got his ass out of there. We know that, man.
Right. Right.
What about these running backs,
too? Yeah, so before you jump on the running backs, I want to speak on Josh Jacobs. He needs, say?
Pac's calling, too, right now, Pac, man.
He needs 600 yards to reach 2,000 yards. And before last game, we talked about it, and he needed the average 140. He had 5 games. He needed an average of 140 yards in the last 5 games. To make his 2,000 yards. Last game, he had 29 carries for 96 yards. He got 4 games now, so it put it up. So in the last 4 games, he had to average 150 yards a game to make it to 2,000. What do you think? And this week, they're playing against what team? They're playing against – I forgot which team it is on my tongue. But they're only giving up like 3.8 yards per carry to the running backs they have playing. So it's going to be tough sledding for him this week as well. So what do you think?
Yeah, he got his last three. Well, he got the Patriots, he got the Steelers, he got the 49ers, and then the Chiefs. Those are all teams that's known to have some type of defense. You know, we do know the 49ers defense is out there playing some ball game. The Chiefs, they're kind of tricky. Sometimes when they're on, they're on. But when they're giving it up, they can give it up, man. So
yeah, but when they're up, you can't just run the ball all game like that.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. I can't say it's not a possibility, but it's going to be really, really hard. 150 a game for 4 games is going to be truly tough. Unless he busts like a 250 game, you know what I'm saying, and try to take the pressure off. Anything is possible, man. And the way he runs, and the way Josh McDaniels calls plays, man, it's going to be very interesting to see. Because like you said, Josh obviously is a Patriot, man. So he knows those ways in and out. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can get, you know, Josh downhill and gashing him in some plays. Because if anybody can do it, it'll be Josh against, you know, his former team. So – and I mean Josh McDaniels in the point. So I can't wait to see. It's gonna be interesting, man. But I think he can still do it, 2K. After this game, I would know a lot more. You know what I'm saying? If he gets 125 this game, of course it goes up more. But like to see where he's running at this, at the end of this game, it'll have me a little bit closer to know. But I still say he can do it, man. 150 is not impossible. Like, it's not impossible. It's just a tall-ass task.
It's a tall task to average 150 in the last four, but it's doable. Anything is doable. Only thing that I say is pointing in the right direction for him. They're only 5-8. I don't think they have a chance of making the playoffs. So it's not the sort of thing where, like, we finna go in, like, forget this, right? We're trying to make the playoffs. They already know, so they're going to give them the ball. And it kind of showed last week when they kept running the ball 29 carries for 96 yards. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to get it done. So it's possible. We just got to wait and see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's gonna have to get some. He's gonna have to definitely get some home runs in there for sure. It's only right.
Yeah, he definitely got to hit some runs. So while we on the running backs, let's do a little segment. It's gonna be called Resign, Tag, or Let Them Walk. And I'm gonna give you a few names, and we'll just go off that. Who you think? Who would you, if you put your GM hat on, resign, tag, or let them walk? The first guy, and I think I know your answer with this, Saquon Barkley.
Resign, easy. That ain't even a question. If the Giants do not resign Saquon and let him hit free agency, and he mess around and, you know, just tag team and go ends up with one of these dudes, like one of these running backs, say the Ravens with Lamar Jackson. Or, you know, just something like that, like, or even mess around and you get Saquon and say, you know, Tom Brady comes back. I'm just throwing stuff out. You don't want to do that. So, listen, you resign him because he showed you that, you know, while healthy, he's going to be able to make plays. And, yes, there's always that in the back of your head, you know, about injury, but we're not thinking about that. We're thinking about what he just did and what you got to pay a kid based on what he's done for you lately. So, yes, I'm resigning him. Easy.
Do you make him the highest running back in NFL history?
Well, if that's what it causes for, I have to do it because it's just part of the game. Like,
okay, you know, so it's slotted. Like, you're right. It's slotted.
Yeah,
so.
If it's slotted, of course, I'm going to have to do it. Like, now, do you think does he deserve to be the highest paid? No, Derrick Henry to me, because what Derrick Henry has done over his career and what he's been able to continually do for so far, I think that Derrick Henry deserves to be the highest paid running back for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I would say re-sign Saquon. The next guy, Josh Jacobs. Don't forget, you still got the option to tag guys too. So
yeah, you're right. After this season alone, I would have to re-sign Josh. But right. Based on his past, I'm tagging him. You see what I'm saying?
No.
Based on this season alone, like, if I go off this season, of course, I got to resign Josh. He's a beast. But if I go off the past Josh Jacobs, it's like, I don't know. Like, so it's kind of tricky, man. Yes, I'm okay with tagging him and giving him $15 million for a year to see if he's going to run it back. Like, can I get that same Josh? And then, yes, I'll give you a 3 year something. I'm not going to super max it out, though, because I know 3 years is probably the max he's going to give me after I sign him up. That's about 7-8 years in.
Oh, so that kind of throw a little wrench in it. So you would sign Saquon, not tag him. You would sign him to a long term. Yeah. After all the time. Okay. Josh Jacobs, I'm going to go with I sign him. Yeah. I sign Josh because I just don't feel like it's another guy that can come in and give me what he's giving me right now within the next couple of years. So I go with I sign Josh Jacobs. My next guy, Tony Pollard.
Tag.
You tag him?
I got to tag him. Yeah. And the only reason why I tag him because, yes, he's an absolute stud. And, yes, I see what he's doing this year. But we all know, like, I'm not saying he's a one-hit wonder. I'm not saying that by no means. This kid is an absolute beast. But what I'm saying is sometimes you get in that contract year when kids know that money's coming, like, you get some insane ball play. So, right, like, right. Yes, if it's – okay, let me see if you can do it back-to-back. So, yeah, I think I'm tagging Pollard. We still got Zeke, and if I tag Pollard, we still can run the 1-2 punch. But then once Pollard shows me he's the same back, of course, then at the end of that year, yes, he gets the money. It's no problem.
Right. I'm tagging Pollard, too. I'm tagging Tony Pollard as well. Miles Sanders.
I'm re-signing Miles Sanders. All Miles Sanders has done for the Eagles when he has been healthy is ball out. Like, when they get him the ball, all he's been able to do, or all he's done is show that he's one of the guys, and he's a number one. He came out of nowhere for me because I'm not acting like I didn't know who Miles Sanders was. I kind of knew, but I didn't know he was this sick. You know what I'm saying? And I've known him from fantasy football a couple years ago because he was going off. So, Miles Sanders, I'm going to sign him. He's shown me that with this team and with that group of players that he's special. So, you know, when you got a special group of players and you go, you know how to, you know, play off of each other, I think that you keep those kids together and try to, you know, run it back.
Right, right. Just looking at their backfield, I know they kind of rely on a couple guys and stuff like that. I think Miles Sanders, I'm going to tag him, see what he come back and do next year for me. And then if he continue to put up numbers and continue to do what I need him to do, then I end up signing him to a big deal. Next guy, Jamal Williams.
I'm signing him. After seeing this dude on Hard Knocks, seeing what he embodies, just seeing what he is as a teammate, he's heart and soul. He's one of them dudes that's going to give his all. And not only is he going to give his all, he's going to go out there and show you that he's going to give his all. So, yes, I don't give a damn about no second fiddle or, you know, the guy going out for 100 yards every game. One thing I do know about Jamal, again, after seeing this dude, you know, on Hard Knocks, I truly am a true fan of him. You can't teach what he can give other players around him, man. He brings everybody up. He gives everybody hope. He's one of the true teammates that's like an inspiration, man. So I'm going to resign him.
Yeah. I think I'm resigning. I don't want people to, you know, kind of take it wrong with stuff. When we say resign, that don't mean that he's going to be the highest paid in history. But, right, you know, he got a nice little deal, Mike. Three-year
$22-24
deal. Know something like that. Know what I'm
great
saying?
Money.
But, I'm re-signing him. My next guy is Devin Singletary with Buffalo.
Devin Singletary. I'm tagging. I got to tag. Mm-hmm. Got to tag him. I just feel like anybody in right now playing behind the big dude, Josh, he's a gangster. Like, playing behind Josh Allen, it's like, really, as long as you can catch the ball out the backfield a little bit, and, you know, as long as you run the ball hard, you're going to be all right. So I got to see more out of Devin Singletary. I'm not saying he's not worth it for people to sign. I just feel like I would tag him. I would probably definitely tag him. I got to see what he – give me a little bit more next year.
Okay. Yeah, I'm letting him walk just on a situation where – he got most of the time this year. We drafted James Cook. He's starting to come along later on in the season. So I'm going to let him walk. And then next year, I'm going to put the keys in James Cook's hand and see what he can do. David Montgomery.
That's the Chicago Bears running back, right?
Yeah, Chicago.
Man, he's a beast, but I think he'll be better in a better situation. But I'll have to let him go. Only because I feel like Chicago can do better by getting some. Like, when you think about some of these guys that's going to be either signed or let go above him, like, you think about some of those guys behind Justin Fields, like Saquon behind Justin Fields is going to be crazy. You know, even though Josh Jacobs behind Justin Fields is crazy. So I'm not taking nothing away from David Montgomery. He's a ball player, but I'll have to let him walk. I think if David Montgomery plays with San Francisco 49ers or something like that, he's way better and doing way better in a better situation.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I'm letting David Montgomery, I'm letting him walk as well. Kareem Hunt.
See, this is tricky, man, because I know if I'm Kareem Hunt, obviously I want to walk because I want a new situation.
You got your GM hat on.
Yeah, my GM hat, I'm not letting Kareem Hunt get out of here. One thing we know about the NFL running back, Young, is it's not how you're going to get hurt, right? It's when. Nick Chubb, I'm not saying he's going to get hurt. It's just that when you play professional football this long, everybody knows it's inevitable, man. Something's going to happen, right? But when if Nick Chubb gets hurt, I don't see nobody else running that ball like him other than Kareem Hunt, and you have him in the back pocket right now. I come from a two-back split program, and I love it. And I know as a selfish running back, you always want to be number one, but I know for longevity, it's okay to share that ball, man. You're going to get more money that way. So I don't know. If I am my GM,
yeah,
he's not going nowhere. I tag him. I tag him for another year.
Okay. I'm letting him go on the simple fact of I know he don't want to be here. So my whole goal would be, I know the type of back he is. He's really a number one in a number two situation. I don't want to let him go, but I have to let him walk because I know he don't want to be here. So my whole goal is let me go into free agency. Let me go into the draft and let me find somebody close to where he can do. And just hopefully I pray on my hands that Nick Chubb don't get hurt and he continue to do what he's doing for me.
Okay. Let me ask you this, GM. Why not sign and trade him then? Kareem Hunt, he has a worth, and like we know his worth next offseason is going, somebody's going to want Kareem Hunt to be like a guy for them. So what I'm saying is, why not, because we have the upper hand right now, even if we tag him or not, we could tag him and still get some draft picks or something out of him. That's what I'm saying. We just can't let him
walk. Because the reason why I say let him walk, like even if I trade him, they're still letting him walk, but he's been asked for a trade now. Obviously, they weren't able to get a trade for him. If they was able to get a trade for him, they would have done it already. So that's why I'm saying once he comes to this point after the season, I got a situation, I'm just going ahead and let him walk.
Okay.
So I won't And let me clarify this now. Only reason why I'm picking letting him walk because he asked for a trade. Like if he was in there and he rocking with us, I definitely would sign him. I wouldn't even tag him. I'd sign him. I'd lock him up for 3 more years. What I'm saying? Or even a 2-year, $10 million, something like that, I'd lock him in. But I know he don't want to be here. So I'm just looking out for the team, both our interests. Go ahead, let him walk right now. Get him out here. I tried to trade him. Can't get nothing for him. So I'm just going ahead and let him walk.
It only makes sense, yeah. Like you said, if he wants to be around, then we keep him because you can't get a 1-2 punch that special like that. That's just fell in your lap anyway. So you're right, bro. I'm with you when you're right. That's exactly good. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Bring that segment back next week for these receivers too.
Yeah, we're gonna do it on receivers. Now the next thing we gonna jump in a little bit on.
Bro, we jumping in on what, bro? I got some. Hey, bro, it's my birthday, bro. Hey, bro. Do you remember like all our birthday parties? Do you remember like?
Yeah, we gonna get to that. But we gotta give our thoughts. You know, the passing of Coach Mike Leach. I didn't know him personally. But, you know, my condolence to his family. I don't know if you know him or anything like that, but is there anything you want to say about Coach Mike Leach?
No, I've always known about him because of the air raid, Texas, when he was down to Texas Tech, and then he came up to Washington State, and he was a coach in Washington State, and he used to get, you know, he found a way to beat SC a few times, but from everybody that I've ever heard anything about him, like he was a very interesting dude, his stories and could talk with the best of them. But, you know, one thing that, you know, I can really say that I'm excited and proud for is because I heard he comes from Lincoln Riley's tree. Lincoln Riley is a part of Mike Leach's coaching tree. So, he came from ECU too, which is crazy, dog. So, it's just, I guess if it wasn't for Mike Leach, we wouldn't have Lincoln Riley over at USC right now, man. But he was a national treasure. When you hear about him talking about candy and how he can describe certain candies and which ones he didn't like, and, you know, he was so in-depth. Or when you heard him talk about, like, the lady, she wanted to get married, and he was giving her advice on what not to do. And, you know, you just sit back and listen to him. He was definitely unique, man. It sucks for our community. When I say our community, that means our sporting community, our sporting world, man. So that's a devastating loss, man. Our prayers go out to his family for sure.
Definitely go out to him. Story time.
I be feeling like that, man, when I walk through. Mm. Bruh, so look, you remember when we was – so look, bruh. I had been in Denver, Colorado for years, man. And like a year and a half that went by, you kept telling me to come out to Colorado, out to Nashville. I was dealing with my depression and whatnot. And you kept telling me, like, bro, just come on out here. You're going to be straight. You're going to be, you're going to have a ball. Just come on. And I remember going out there for Thanksgiving, bro. And I was supposed to only really be out there for a week, but I ended up just staying. And you was like, yeah, you might as well stay to your birthday, bro. And I remember, like, that whole week you had looked out. You went to, tea at Fat Caps, got some clothes and, all kind of stuff. But I just remember, bro, we went to the club, bro. We hanging out, it was going crazy. I remember you left out of nowhere, bro, and you was just like, you just slid. And it makes me want to hear somebody on the mic like, hey, man, stop the music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how y'all be feeling, but I know me and my dog walk in the club. I know how we be feeling. Hey, shout out to my brother, you know what I'm saying, Lindell White, my dog birthday. Hey, DJ, play that shit. And then I just remember that Rich Homie Quan and my dog Problem, I be feeling like that, man, when I walk through. And the club went so crazy, bro. And I just remember at that moment, I was just like, boy, this man 2K got this shit jugging. Boy, that was one of my favorite times of my life, man. That was one of my birthday stories, man. I know you remember that. Boy,
I remember that.
The section was so jigging. I had about 20 light-skinned women with me, man. I don't know if you knew any of them at the time, but I knew I had them with me. So, yeah. You got any stories like that?
That night was lit. Yeah, I ain't got no story like that. I think this was training camp. I got a training camp story. It's by me and Mike Griff, me and Michael Griffin. So, we go through training camp, whatever. We got these team. We ran a team or whatever. This is my rookie year. I'm still a rookie. So we got now, we going team. We ran a team or whatever. So at this point, EB, he like, to the running backs, like when you come through, he want us to go, I guess it was like 40, 50 yards downfield or whatever. So, and then that's when Vanderbosch used to run downfield and woo or whatever. But this one particular day, I see Griffin in the weight room because we used to work out in the morning. And then, throughout the locker room and stuff, see him. Griff, don't kill me. But so this particular day, everybody know Griff. Griff usually like this happy-go-lucky. He's this happy-go-lucky guy, like always talking up, like woo-woo. But this day, like in the weight room, he's just over there in the weight room. He knocking out his workout. No talking, no smiling, like kind of like got a mug on his face, this and that. He walking through the locker room. He ain't really talking. Nobody just chilling, putting his stuff on, getting ready for practice or whatever. Ain't really hearing him at practice or nothing. He just whoop. I'm like, dang, this Griff ain't, know what I'm saying? But, I don't think too much of it. I'm just thinking, we in camp. A couple weeks that went by, he probably just tired of being in camp, ready to get out of camp, this and that. I'm still a rookie, so, I got energy for days. I'm just woo-woo. So I'm thinking he's just ready to get out, whatever. So we run a play. I come up the middle. I break up the sideline. I'm running. So by this point, I'm going like 50, 60 yards downfield. So after I get past everybody, I'm just kind of like striding out down the sideline. And Mike Griff usually – he'll always come meet me and play around with me, tag off for like, just joke with me, like kind of like test his speed out with mine. But this certain day, my, I done told you he in the weight room. So this day, I'm just striding up the sideline. He come from out of nowhere. Boom! He smacked me. Real smacked me, knocked me to the gate. On fall, but he smacked me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dang, bro, like, what you got going on? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the hell going on? What up, woo-woo? So I'm like, okay, I see what type of time we on today. You know what I'm saying? So I see what type of time we on. So, this time, so now we running back from our end zone from coming out. So now we move down the field a little bit. move down the field, but you know, we take the breaks in between or whatever. So he come up to me, he like, man, my bad, man. You know, shoot, man. Like, I've been going through it with my baby mama. You know what I'm saying? All this child support stuff. Like, I'm going through it with my baby mama, man. My bad. I took it out on you. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dang, bro, you know? You know what I'm saying? So, man, listen, that baby mama drama and them and the child support stuff and all that. But that began, boy, but be hot, you know what I'm saying? Take it out on people at practice, whatever. So I'm like, all right, man, you know, it's all good, bro. Ain't no pressure, man. So you going through it, this and that, you know what I'm saying? But that's the same thing, you know what I'm saying? You squash the beef, but it ain't over. You think it's over. So move down a little bit, probably like on the 40s, like still going in. So I come through again. I'm on the sideline. So he easing up. Like, he see me. You know what I'm saying? We done made up, scratched the beef. He see me. So the touchdown right here. So he think, he like on the inside, he can just let me slide through. You know what I'm saying? And score and tag off. I act like I was finna go in the end zone and gave it to him. Yaka! You know what I'm saying? I gave him all hat. Bro, he was so hot. He was so mad, bro. I gave him everything I had. I gave it to him. You know what I'm saying? I say, bro, don't play with me like that no more, man. Bro, don't be taking that baby mama beef out on me. You know what I'm saying? So, man, that's my story, man.
Oh, my God.
Don't kill me. It's all fun. You know what I'm saying? But that's my story, man. Man, it was lit, man. I miss them days. That's some of my story, man. Yeah.
Don't worry. I got hey, next week I got one for you, boy. I got one for you about Lil Wayne. We went to go Lil Wayne concert, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Yes, sir. It's another good one, man. We'll see y'all next week, man. We out.
Downtown, we live. Oh, what a feeling. When it's go time, I go lie from the kitchen with a ditchy. Get your dad for a whipping. Whip a brick. When you break the whole brick down, this what it'll get you. Pat glaze, frost wrist. How you fucking all these.